Good afternoon. I would like to welcome you to the God in Your Church seminar, let you know that we're really happy that you're here. The seminar is presented by Come and Reason Ministries, and we would like to thank Pastor Dave Kettleson and the Hamilton Community Church for allowing us to use this beautiful venue. I want to have a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we are very grateful to be here today. We invite your spirit to come in this place, soften our hearts, enlighten our minds, make us lovers of truth. Father, be with Tim. Give him a word that will change lives today, and we will praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to give you a little background on our speaker this afternoon and introduce Dr. Jennings. Tim Jennings is a board-certified Christian psychiatrist. He's a master psychopharmacologist. He's a lecturer. He's an international speaker, and he has authored multiple books. Dr. Jennings was voted one of America's top psychiatrists by the Consumers Research Council of America in 2008, 2010, 2011, 2012, and in 2014. Dr. Jennings is a distinguished fellow of the American Psychiatric Association. He's the president of the Tennessee Psychiatric Association. He's president-elect of the Southern Psychiatric Association. He's the president and founder of Come and Reason Ministries, which is a not-for-profit Christian ministry. And he's also in private practice here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He has lectures and materials available at his website. The ministry's website is comeandreason.com. I would invite you to go there. There are recordings, audio recordings, video recordings. He writes a blog on that website, and there are also printed materials, materials that you can print and share. So his credentials are impressive, but I know his heart is for this ministry. His heart is for spreading this message of the truth about God's character of love. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Tim Jennings to the stage.
Welcome. Come and Reason Ministries, our board, our staff, our friends and supporters around the world, present this seminar to you as our gift, with our love and hope that you will find a deeper and richer experience with your relationship with God, victory in your life here and now, and be inspired to share this healing message about God with others. This seminar is designed for everyone, regardless of denominational background. But as Paul, who was an apostle to the Gentiles and presented truths for everyone, had a special love in his heart for the people of his childhood faith and would often tie things back to his childhood faith to help reach those people, I was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist tradition, and I have a particular love in my heart for the Seventh-day Adventist people. And for their benefit, I will tie in some historical quotes to these Bible truths as we go through this program this afternoon. Have you ever been one of the first to identify a problem, that something was wrong? Have you ever been in that difficult situation of being one of the first to identify a problem when someone in leadership or authority has already determined no problem exists? When I was in my second year of residency, I was put in this situation. A young man was admitted to my service, and he had odd behavior, a little strange look in his eye. His thoughts were disorganized. His wife reported that he had mood swings and anger outbursts, but he just didn't feel right to me. His history, he would go to sleep in his bedroom, but he would wake up in the living room and not remember moving from the bedroom to the living room. And when I did a physical exam, he had what were called soft neurologic signs, subtle signs suggestive of a potential brain problem, and I was very concerned that he had a neurological brain condition rather than a psychiatric condition, so I ordered an MRI of the brain. The problem was, MRIs were brand new when I was in residency, fairly old here. MRIs were brand new, and they were quite expensive, and they required for an MRI of the brain the chief of neurology to sign off on it. And my patient had already been personally evaluated by the chief of neurology, had a CAT scan of the brain, an EEG, and been ruled that there was no neurologic problem. So when my order for the MRI went in, it was denied. I went to my staff supervisor and explained my findings to my staff supervisor and said, I really think we need to get an MRI. I'm convinced it's a neurologic problem, not psychiatric. And so she advocated and went to the chief of neurology, but I was a second-year resident. And a second-year resident's evaluation was not considered as reliable as a chief of neurology. And so it was again denied. This put us in a bind. What do we do? Do we just accept this? Or does my supervisor go to the chief of the hospital, the commander of the hospital, and get him to override the chief of neurology and order the MRI? Well, that's what happened. And when they did the MRI, my patient had a tumor so large it invaded both sides of his brain. And when they went back and looked at the CAT scan with the MRI in hand, they could actually see that the tumor was there, but it was so large, both the radiologist and the neurologist didn't even see it. Have you ever been one of the first to identify a problem and been in that situation where somebody in leadership or authority concluded that no problem exists? Well, I believe there is something wrong in Christianity. Domestic violence rates in Christian homes are no different than non-Christian homes. Child abuse rates in Christian homes are no different than non-Christian homes. Alcohol and drug addiction rates, no different. Pornography use, no different. And if you look at the Christianity as a whole, it's fragmented into 34,000 different Christian groups, often arguing amongst themselves on who's got the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, in the last days, there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves. They will be without self-control, brutal, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. There's something wrong in Christianity. In this seminar, we will expose an infection of thought, a distortion of belief that keeps good people trapped in addiction and violent cycles. And we will present a remedy to bring healing and prepare people to meet Jesus. So how do you determine whether something is right or wrong, known as moral decision-making? Do you look for a higher authority, a parent, a teacher, a political leader, a priest, someone to tell you? Do you look for a consensus amongst your peers? Well, everybody else thinks this is the way it is, or a code, a system of rules to tell you. Do you have some other mechanism that you use to determine right and wrong? I want to give acknowledgement to Lawrence Kohlberg for doing groundbreaking research on the 6 levels of moral development, and we've built on his research, expanded it with biblical truths to the 7 levels of moral development, and tied it in with Bible perspectives. Because we will examine these 7 levels so that we shall come together to the oneness in our faith, and in our knowledge of the Son of God, we shall become mature people, reaching the very height of Christ's full stature. Then we shall be no longer children, carried by the waves and blown about by every shifting wind, the teaching of deceitful people. It is our goal to grow up and to mature. Eric Wright, 2010, was working as an EMT here at Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga, and his wife, Aline, working as an RN at the hospital. Late one evening in 2010, his wife began to have weakness and drooping of her face, tingling and numbness in her hand, and they became quite concerned she was having a stroke. Working at Erlanger, knowing that it's the regional stroke center, that if you get a person having a stroke to the hospital quickly, oftentimes these days it can be reversed. So what should they do? Should they call 911, wait for the ambulance to be dispatched and take her, or living only 6 or 7 miles from the hospital, just jump in the car and get her there as quickly as possible? Well, this is what they decided to do, to jump in the car and get there as quickly as possible. But it was late at night. As they got out on the streets, there's hardly any traffic, but the speed limit was posted at 35 miles per hour. What should he do? What is the right action to take? Should he be a lawbreaker or should he obey the law? Obedient or disobedient to the law? Well, he decided to speed. But very shortly after that, he came to 2 intersections where the lights were red. Should he slow down, stop, look both directions, flash his lights, and when no traffic is coming, go through the lights? Should he break the law, or should he obey the law and wait for the signals to turn green? Well, he chose to flash his lights and wait for and not wait till they turned green, and when nothing was coming, go through the red lights. Unfortunately for him, a police officer saw him do this and pulled in behind him with his blue lights and siren on. What is the right decision for him to make? Should he obey the law and pull over for an officer of the law, or should he disobey the law and continue on to the hospital? He continued on to the hospital. When he got to the emergency room, he jumped out, ran around, picked his wife up to carry her in. The police officer jumped out and ordered him to freeze and put his hands on the hood of his car. And then the police officer came over to physically restrain him. What should he do? What is the right action to take? Obey the directions of the police officer as the law requires, or disobey and shove the officer aside while he carries his wife into the emergency room, which is what he did. And he was arrested and charged with assault on a police officer, disorderly conduct, reckless endangerment, 2 counts of traffic signals violations, and expired registration. Did Eric do right or wrong? It all depends on your level of moral development. And let's go through the 7 levels. Level 1, reward and punishment. This is the most basic level of determining whether something is right or wrong. Right or wrong is right is determined if you get a reward for it. Wrong is determined if you get punished for it. This is the Nazi soldiers who would put people in the gas chamber because if they didn't, they would be court-martialed and punished, so it was the right thing to do to avoid punishment. This is a slave mentality. This was ancient Israel as slaves in Egypt, doing what the master says to avoid the whip. Many people operate at this level are emotion-based decision makers, making decisions in the very moment simply to what feels good or to avoid what feels bad. Rulers at this level must be powerful. A ruler establishes his right to rule by mighty displays of vengeance upon one's enemies. Mercy, extending mercy, or refusing or failing to punish is viewed as weakness by people operating at moral one, at level one standards. People see at this level a God of mercy, a God who doesn't inflict punishment, as a marshmallow God, and insist God must use his power in order to torture and kill. God meets people where they are. So in Egypt, when they were slaves operating at level one, God took vengeance upon the gods of Egypt. 10 plagues came to show that the gods of Egypt were not God. And it says in Scripture, I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God. Level one, however, is so primitive, it actually doesn't require a brain. Thinking is completely sidelined. Animals, plants, bacteria even avoid painful stimuli and will grow towards rewarding stimuli. This level of functioning is not worthy of human beings created in the image of God. And in fact, it is Satan's goal to reduce us to brute beasts, creatures of instinct, operating at level one. Level two, marketplace exchange. This is the quid pro quo. You do something for me in return for something of agreed upon value. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. This is ancient Israel when the law was written. They said, okay, what the Lord says, we'll do it, and then we'll get rewards from the Lord for doing what he says. This is also the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth mentality. And at level two, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, vengeance is considered a moral duty. To not pay back someone with equal amounts of pain and suffering is considered immoral. Sadly, many people in the world today, you see it in the news all the time, are still operating at this level. This is also the health wellness gospel. The idea that if you do certain ritual, say the certain prayer every day for 30 days, then you get blessed, your power gets extended, and so forth and so on. You do the right rituals, you get the right blessing. Level two barely requires the brain. Thinking at this level is minimal. Animals, dolphins, monkeys, dogs can do things in exchange for a treat. The motive remains self-focused. Again, not worthy of beings created in the image of God. Level three, social conformity. This is the young man that says, hey, everybody else is doing it. It must be the right thing to do. Why can't I do it? Right is determined by a consensus of one's peers or community. Individual vengeance is not allowed, but group punishment is considered mandatory. This was ancient Israel when they wanted their kings. Everybody's got kings. Well, we want kings too. And when they would collectively punish. Level three doesn't require thinking. It looks outside of oneself to a group consensus to get a consensus of what everyone else thinks is right, and then you follow the crowd. Many herd animals follow the crowd, even if it's right over the cliff. Again, not worthy of beings created in the image of God. Level 4, law and order. Right and wrong is determined by a codified system of rules, judges, and imposed punishments. Judgment is deferred to the proper elected authorities, and authority figures at this level are rarely questioned. He must be right. He's the judge. He's the pope. He's the pastor. He must be right. Who are we to question? He's got the authority. Ancient Israel, at the time of Christ, we have a law, and you're breaking our law. This is much of the modern world today, with our judicial systems, imposed punishments, and coercive pressure. Thinking at this level is minimal. At this level, one only has to think, what are the rules? What is the law? Don't have to understand why. Don't have to consider variables. If the rule says it, just do it. Security at this level is found in law keeping. I can't be punished if I keep the law, or in legal loophole law keeping, substitutionary law keeping, legal payment made to take care of your legal breaches. Level 5, love for others. Right is determined by doing what's actually in the best interest of others. People have value regardless of the law. Thus, African Americans have value and we love them regardless of the Jim Crow laws. Right is determined not by a checklist of rules, but by doing what is actually good for other people. This was Jesus healing on the Sabbath, socializing with tax collectors, touching lepers, also the story of the Good Samaritan, the apostles picking grain on Sabbath, David and the showbread, every one of these breaking their laws, but in harmony with the law of love, love for others. Level 5 requires thinking. It's the first level that moves the motive away from self to others. Requires consideration of various options. This level does not require high cognitive intelligence, but emotional intelligence, empathy, compassion, concern, love for others. Thus, people with cognitive disabilities can still operate at level 5 because they love other people. It's about right motive, not right answers on a Bible quiz. Except you become like little children, Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And he was talking about becoming like little children in your capacity to love and trust. Level 6, principle-based living. At level 6, right is determined by understanding how reality is actually designed to operate. The actual protocols upon which the fabric of the cosmos run. One doesn't do something because a rule says so, but because reality actually works that way. This was Jesus and after Pentecost, the apostles. We not only have concern for others, but we realize how God has constructed life to operate and choose to operate in harmony with it. We reason from cause to effect. Mature individuals don't use drugs, illegal drugs, because they're illegal. They don't use them because they're actually violating the laws of health and are damaging. So even when the states pass a law to make it legal, mature individuals still won't use them. You see, states can pass laws to make drugs legal. They cannot pass laws to make them healthy. Level 7, understanding friend of God. Not only do we have love for others, not only do we understand God's design for life, but at level 7, we understand and intelligently participate in God's purposes. Jesus said in John 15:15, no longer call you servants, rather I call you friends, because servants don't understand their master's business, and I've let you in on everything. He calls us into understanding service with him, to understand his purposes and intelligently participate with him. Level 7, understand God's character and law of love, how things are designed. They understand the origin of evil and the nature of sin, the weapons of Satan, the original purpose of the creation of humanity, the fall of humankind into sin, God's working through human history, the purpose of the cross, and the ultimate cleansing of the universe from sin. They understand how reality is actually working. Level 7 is Jesus operated to this level, as well as those who are ready for translation. The scripture describes that final group of people on earth as being sealed in their foreheads, being so settled into the reality of God and his kingdom, nothing can move them, and loving others so much that did not shrink from death. In other words, they don't love their own life so much as that they would shrink from death. They're not into survival mode. They're into loving others mode. Understanding love is how God has designed life to work that would lead to the principles of other-centeredness of modesty and humility and wise stewardship of money. A person at level 7 would have no problem avoiding expensive jewelry or flashy cars or buying clothes just to make themselves look better and bigger, to bring attention to themselves. But a person operating at level 4 might make up rules such as no jewelry or no cosmetics, but never notice the person who buys a new suit every week or a new dress every week because it's not on the list. This also gives us insight into why so many laws in the Bible. People operating at level 4 and below require a rule for almost everything. Consider how many laws we have in our states, our counties, our municipalities, our federal government. How many piles and piles of books would we have if we had every law? Because when people operate at level 4 and below, you need a rule for every circumstance and every situation. But when people reach level 5 and above, it can be boiled down to 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. It's 2. Rules are no longer needed because the heart motive is always to live in harmony with God and to be a blessing to those around us. Consider a child brushing their teeth through the 7 levels of development. Level 1, reward and punishment. It's wrong not to brush because mommy will get mad and the child will be punished. It's right to brush because we'll get praised. Level 2, marketplace exchange. This is the parent or the child who says, I'll brush my teeth if you read me a bedtime story. Or maybe the parent is wanting to move away from threatening, if you don't brush your teeth, I'm going to punish you. So the parent says, if you brush your teeth, I'll read you a bedtime story. Moving to level 2, let's make a deal. Level 3, it's wrong not to brush at this level because if you don't brush, you'll get teased at school. It's right to brush, you'll be accepted at school. Level 4, law and order. Your house, home has a family behavior contract with codified expectations of behaviors and consequences. And if you don't brush, you lose your cell phone for a day. So you don't want to lose your cell phone, so you brush. Level 5, love for others. Realizing it would inconvenience your parents to take you to the dentist and pay dentist bills, and you love your parents, and you wouldn't want to burden them with that. You brush your teeth so you don't be a burden to your parents. Level 6, principle-based living. Understand the second law of thermodynamics, even if you can't name it, that if you don't put energy into a system, the system will decay, and you understand that it's healthier to live in harmony with how things are designed, so you brush your teeth. And level 7, understanding friend of God, not only loves others and understands God's design, but also realizes that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that if you don't brush your teeth, you're going to get sick, cause decay, and will undermine your fitness for God's cause. So one brushes their teeth to be a good steward, maintain their health, to fulfill God's purposes, and be a good witness to others. Now, do you notice at all 7 levels, teeth are being brushed? But only level 5 and above can be trusted. Level 4 and below require some external threat, some external oversight to enforce the behavior. Level 4 and below have selfish motivation. There's no heart change. Level 5 is the first level where the law is internalized, written on the heart, and changes to an altruistic concern for others. This brings us to this idea of design law versus pose law. Design law, God is the creator, the designer, the builder of the reality of the fabric of the cosmos, and his laws are the protocols upon which reality exists. Laws of gravity, laws of physics, laws of health, and the moral laws, law of love, law of liberty, a law of worship, and so many more that we describe in our materials. How reality actually operates, the protocols life is built upon. But created beings, we cannot make reality. So we make up rules that have no inherent consequence, that require external oversight and enforcement, imposed laws. People operating at level 1 through 4 view life and view God and view Scripture through imposed law lenses that God runs his universe like created beings would, making up rules and threatening punishment if you don't obey the rules. Level 5 through 7 view through design law. God is the creator, and he built his universe to operate in certain design parameters. And deviation from that design is damaging to the deviant and requires the designer to intervene to heal and restore. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14 says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. God wants us to grow up because staying as children, infants on milk, means we are not yet righteous. We are not set right in heart or mind. We are not justified. We're not acquainted with righteousness. Childlike Christianity requires ongoing supervision, oversight, and external threats to do what is right. It has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. Immature Christianity in our youth. Have you ever wondered why so many of our young people raised in the church, when they get out on their own, decide to leave the church? It's because of teaching level 4 and below theology and perspectives on God that many leave the church. Just imagine if you raised your children to brush their teeth, but they never elevated above level 4. So the only reason they've ever conceived in their mind to brush their teeth is, well, there's a rule, and if I don't brush my teeth, I'll get punished. This is it. And they leave one day and they move out, and that's the only reason they have for doing it. What will they do? They'll stop brushing. We have to teach our children level 5, 6, 7, understand reality of how God has created the universe to operate, and then they'd never want to leave. So what prevents maturing? What prevents growing up? Staying on infant formula. And what is the formula of infants? The theological formula of infants, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites like baptism and other symbolic rituals, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. What is infant formula? The do's and the don'ts, the commandments, the behavior, legal, religion, the keeping track of the misdeeds and the bad behaviors. This is a starting point. It's the infant stage. See, in order to grow physically, we have to be born physically into the world. In order to grow spiritually, we have to be reborn into the kingdom of God. The law initially convicts us that there's something wrong and brings us to the point that we're ready to surrender in repentance and be reborn, leads us to our Savior for that rebirth experience. So this is a starting point. And when we come into the conviction of the law and we feel that guilt and shame, and then we meet Jesus and feel his grace and forgiveness, it's a wonderful freedom, a burden taken off. And it feels so wonderful that many stay at this level, recycling through bad deeds, feeling convicted of guilt, going to Jesus and asking forgiveness, having forgiveness and grace, and going back and committing the bad deeds over and over again, staying in this cycle. When we realize the truth, what does healthy repentance look like? When we realize the truth of God's design for life, his character of love, and our terminal condition, we surrender ourselves in trust to him. Not simply seeking forgiveness for a bad deed, but we pray like David, search me and see the wicked way in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. We want to be changed in the motives of our heart to have a love for God and a love for others, not simply be legally pardoned from some bad deed. So what prevents growing up? Level 4 and below theologies with legal descriptions and legal solutions. For those who haven't decided this makes no sense and leave the church, for those who stay in the church, they end up trapped in addiction and violence cycles. Why? Because they have a false legal solution which has a form of godliness, but no power to heal. Imagine this toothbrushing analogy. You haven't been brushing. You grew up in a home in which you were taught to brush your teeth, and you were raised about the rights and the wrongs and the do's and the don'ts, and if you don't, you're going to get punished, and you don't want to be punished, so you brush your teeth. And one day you leave home and move out on your own, and you say, I'm tired of all these rules. I'm not going to brush my teeth, but you're a little nervous because you've been told your whole time you better brush them, so you watch really closely. And over the first week, 2 weeks, see, I've been brushing. Nothing bad happened. No punishments happened. I knew I didn't need to brush my teeth, and so you forget all about it, and a year and a half go by. Hadn't been brushing. and now you find yourself hurting and in pain. You've got decay. You've got an abscess. You call mom and dad, and you say, "I blew it. I didn't brush my teeth like you raised me to. I'm suffering. I'm miserable. What do I do? What do I do? My life's a mess." And they say, "Well, there's an expert at our church that deals with people who have lived disobedient lives and have ended up in pain and suffering because they haven't obeyed what they were taught to do. And so I'll arrange a meeting. You can meet with our spiritual leader who's an expert in helping you with this." And so you go meet with the leader, this expert, to help you. And he tells you, "What you need to do is accept the legal toothbrushing of your older brother. And then do the proper ritual. And if you do that, then your older brother will make intercession for you. And when he will be examined in your place, and we'll have the perfect record of his toothbrushing apply to your record." Okay, you see? "And then what you need to do when that happens, you will be declared to have perfect teeth, even though you don't. You just need to believe that you do." And so you claim you believe it, but you leave just as bad as when you arrived. This is Christianity as it's taught around the world. Is a form of godliness, but it has no power to heal the lives of people. Genuine righteousness, genuine justification, as the Bible teaches it, is being set right in your heart relationship with God again. The natural heart, we are born in sin, fear and self-centered, and our natural heart is an enmity to God. We don't trust him. We distrust him. That's our natural state because of Adam. It says in Scripture that Abraham trusted God. And after he came to trust God, then he was recognized as righteous or set right with God again, because his heart had changed from distrust in God to trust in God. And then when the heart changes to trust, what do? If we really trust and surrender self, we open the heart and the Holy Spirit is poured in and takes everything Christ has done in our behalf and reproduces it in us. So it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. We get a new heart and right spirit. We're regenerated in the inner man. The heart is circumcised by the Spirit. We have the law written on the heart and mind. We get a mind of Christ. We grow up and mature, but only when we actually come to a point where we trust God. And this other legal thing is a barrier, because it leads people to seek legal pardon and to believe that they're being declared to be right, even though they're not, and they don't expect victory. They don't expect healing. Infant repentance is a childlike conviction of our bad deeds, and we think we're in trouble with the one in charge. We feel guilty and ashamed of the bad things we've done. We live in fear of punishment and rejection. And in this mindset, we're vulnerable to have our ideas about God warped and distorted. Because we feel bad about ourselves, we accept the lie that God is mad at us. Because we want to punish ourselves in our own mind, and don't tell me you haven't been there and done that, we believe the lie that God wants to punish us. And because we want to do something to make up for it, to make up for our badness, we believe the lie that God needs something done to him to make up for our badness. Faith in God, how is this infant formula? Because faith in God, or trust in God, is a starting point. It's in faith and trust that we confess, we open the heart and allow him in. But sadly, many don't grow past this level. They live, their life is all about repenting and trusting in a payment to be made. You see, the infant stage in that legal paradigm is unacquainted with righteousness, because they claim faith in God in a legal payment, and get your mind around this, to be protected from God, rather than coming back to a trust relationship in God that you can say like Jesus, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." That is a completely different experience than "I trust that my payment has been made and God won't punish me." Example of this immature is when the teen who says, "Well, if God's going to forgive me for having premarital sex, then what's the problem?" You see, this is level 1 through 4 thinking, believing that the problem with sin is breaking the rules and getting in trouble with the rule giver, then we need something to take care of our legal trouble with the rule giver, then we're forgiven, we're good. This is like asking, "Well, if God's going to forgive me for smoking, what's wrong with smoking?" Level 5 and above realize God's laws are how life is actually constructed to operate. And when you deviate from his design, it is damaging to the deviant. It destroys. What about instructions about baptism? How is this infant stuff? Again, it's a starting point. It's the beginning of a life in Christ. After you've come to trust him and you've repented with in your relationship with him, it is the step of symbolically dying to self and starting your new life. But it isn't the establishment of a mature character. It isn't the victory. It isn't the end of the journey. It's the beginning point. Laying on of hands. How is this infant formula? Because again, this is another elementary or starting point. After trust and repentance and baptism, then you have the laying on of hands where you're empowered by the Spirit to start that journey and have victories in your life. Resurrection of the dead. How is this infant stuff? Because this is one of the basic teachings that we need to overcome our survival of the fittest instinct to protect self. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that we are held captive, the whole human race, by our fear of death. And so we are given this message right at the beginning. Hey, you don't have to be afraid of death. I have overcome death. Death has no power over those who trust me. It gives us reassurance. It's a starting point. What about eternal judgment? How is this infant stuff? Because it's another basic teaching for the infants who come all self-focused, wanting to be sure that everything is fair and everybody gets what's due them. I repented, I went through the thing, they didn't, they better get what's due them. And so God says, okay, basic teaching about the judgment. There will be a final judgment. You can stop worrying, stop keeping score, stop holding resentment, forgive and trust me, I'll settle up all accounts in the end. Turn it over, let it go. It's a basic teaching. But as we mature, we realize that the final judgment is nothing more than the accurate diagnosis of every person. As it says in Revelation, let him who is filthy be filthy still. Let him who is righteous be righteous still. This is the judgment. So what is immaturity? Level 4 and below. Self-centered theologies focusing on avoiding punishment or getting a reward. And think through how many sermons and things you've read in the church that focus on this level. Making a deal. Getting approval or acceptance. Avoiding legal trouble, penal legal theologies. Immaturity is also refusing or rejecting or in being incapable of integrating the integrative evidence-based approach, integrating the three threads of evidence that God has given us. All scripture is given for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and righteousness. But the Bible tells us that God's divine nature is seen in what he has made so that men are without excuse. So God reveals himself in nature. So we have science in nature. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience me. Check me out. We have three threads that are to be integrated in our understanding of reality and truth. Immaturity is sola scriptura. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And the refusal, a thoughtless adherence to a legal-focused or rules-focused religion. The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles this, we're going to do. It's an inability to integrate your understanding of Scripture with how it actually works in real life. And this is why Christianity is fragmented into 34,000 different groups. Because everybody interprets this part or that part differently because they're not anchoring our interpretations of Scripture into reality. We can't draw conclusions based on evidence. We require declarative statements. Historically, people who had a hard time believing the earth is round or the earth is not the center of the universe or the earth circles around the sun rather than the sun circling around the earth. Even though the Bible teaches our need to mature and grow up, even though I've demonstrated from Scripture these different levels of maturity, people will reject this program because they can't find the seven levels listed in some list in Scripture. So what is maturity? Level 5 and above. Love, other-centered theologies. Love for God and others. Living in harmony with God's design, how he's actually created the universe to run, and fulfilling God's purposes with your life. Maturity level 5 always includes Scripture, but requires our understanding of Scripture to harmonize with how love actually works in real life. Maturity level 6 always uses Scripture, but requires Scripture to harmonize with God's design for his universe. And maturity level 7, understanding God's purposes, requires an integration of Scripture, science, and experience in the framework of the controversy over God's character of love, looking for the harmonized truth. Here is one of those historic quotes tying this in. This is the Christ Object Lessons 125. The great storehouse of truth is the Word of God, the written Word, the book of nature, and the book of experience in God's dealing with human life. or another one out of a book called Education, page 77. Jesus followed the divine plan of education. His education was gained directly from the heaven-appointed sources, from useful work, from the study of scriptures and of nature and the experiences of life, God's lesson books. Consider the foods we eat. How do you determine what is right and wrong to eat? Level one, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said don't eat pork, we don't eat pork because if we do, we'll get punished. Level two, God promised if we eat certain foods that he tells us to eat, that he'll give us good health, so we eat the foods he says so we'll get the blessings he's promised. Level three, everyone in the culture agrees on what's right to eat. The Jews eat one thing, Muslims eat another, and Christians eat something else. Level four, God has a law, and his law prescribes what we eat. If we don't follow the law, then justice requires we be punished. Level five, we eat with concern for our weaker brother. We recognize that food offered to an idol has the same nutritional quality as food not offered to an idol. But if our weaker brother thinks that we'll come under the power of the idol by eating it, then we don't eat because we don't want to trip up our weaker brother. Level six, we understand God's design for human life. And just as we wouldn't put water in the gas tank of our car because it wasn't designed to run on water, we don't put certain foods into our body. We know that the ceremonial law was done away with at the cross, but we also know that the laws of health were not done away with at the cross. And we seek to live closer and closer to how God designed us to live. And level seven, as friends of God, we not only understand his original design for the human physiology, and thus don't put things in he never intended, we also understand our responsibility as stewards of God's creation to tend and protect it. We understand that as God's representative on earth, we treat lower life forms as Christ treats us. We protect them. We don't exploit them for selfish interest. We do all we can to love God's creatures and cause them as little harm as possible, moving ever closer to how we will live again in the earth made new. What about moral decision-making in the real world? Sandy was an elementary school teacher at a denominational church school, and her husband was deacon in their local church. Unfortunately, her husband had anger management problems and would frequently punch her, beat her, and hit her. And after many months, years of this, she went to her pastor, and her pastor immediately sided with her, called in the husband, read him the riot act, told him this must stop, he must get help, and that if he didn't stop, he couldn't continue to be a deacon in the church. He also told Sandy that if it continued, she should call the police. Well, Sandy didn't want to get her husband in trouble, and so she didn't call the police, and the beatings continued for several more years. And finally, she moved out and filed for divorce. Her husband went to the conference who employed her and complained to the conference officials that his wife was divorcing her without biblical grounds and therefore was unfit to teach in a Christian school. And the conference fired her from her job. At what level was Sandy's husband operating? Was Sandy's decision to divorce right or wrong? Did she have biblical grounds? At what level were the conference officials operating? Were they right or wrong? Your answer will reveal much about your developmental level. The law of love. Level seven realizes that God is love and he built his universe to operate in harmony with himself. Love doesn't seek self. Love is giving. Love is other-centered. Love is self-sacrificial. As in the example of breathing, every breath you give away carbon dioxide and the plants get back oxygen to you. Law of love, built right into nature. Break the law on one point, the Bible says, breaks it in all points because all deviations are violations of love. Therefore, beating your wife fails to love her, i.e. betrays her trust, which is adultery. So what about domestic violence through the seven levels? Level one, it isn't wrong if he's stronger, and as long as he isn't punished for it, it's right. It's only wrong if it results in him being punished. Level two, it isn't wrong to beat your wife, to give her the proper beating she deserves if she doesn't keep her end of the marriage bargain. It would only be wrong to beat her without proper cause. Level three, it's only wrong if my culture says it's wrong. Level four, it isn't wrong because broken rules require punishment. God gave us rules, and when they are broken, justice requires God punishes. Jesus took our punishment. If I want to be like God, I must punish my disobedient wife. This is how love teaches her to obey her husband. Level 5, it is wrong to beat your wife because it fails to love her, to treat her as a daughter of God with value as a person. Level 6, it is wrong because it violates God's design for life and love. It violates the law of liberty, one of God's design protocols for healthy relationships. Love can only exist in an atmosphere of freedom, and to violate that, you destroy love. God designs husbands and wives as co-equals, and husbands are to treat their wives as Christ treats the church, sacrificing himself for her. This breaks that design. And then level 7, understanding friend of God. It's wrong because it not only violates God's design, but it damages the mind, character, and conscience of the husband. It destroys the individuality of the wife. It misrepresents God as dictatorial. And it fails to understand the purpose of the creation of woman. Man was created in God's image, and he said it's not good for him to be alone. I'll make a helper for him. A helper for what? A helper to enter into the fullness of godlike love. Adam could not enter into godlike love without someone for Adam to serve, without someone for Adam to sacrifice himself for. Eve was to be the recipient of Adam's sacrificial, selfless love and receive that love and let it flow back to Adam again, a harmony of other-centered giving, the Godhead in microcosm. And this breaks that and fails to fulfill God's purpose for marriage. And in closing, why did Christ have to die? The atonement through the 7 levels. Level 1, reward and punishment. Because God said, don't do something. They did. God got mad and offended. And in angry vengeance, took the life of Jesus in our place. Level 2, marketplace exchange. Because Satan now had some rights to this earth and claimed the lives of the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. And God struck a bargain with the devil to exchange the life of Christ for the life of humans. Or Aslan had to give his life to the white witch to free the son of Adam. Level 3, because everyone agrees sin must be punished, someone had to pay. Level 4, to pay the legal penalty the law demanded and the heavenly judge imposed. The law must be kept. Man broke the law. Someone had to pay the penalty. Jesus paid that penalty. The integrity of the law was maintained. Level 5, because he loved us too much to let us go, and his death was the means to reach us with his love and restore us to trust in him. Level 6, it was the only means to fix what sin had actually done to God's creation. When mankind sinned, they deviated from God's design for life, and their condition was terminal. Christ came to fix what sin did to this creation. Thus, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God for our restoration. And level 7, Christ died to reveal the truth, to win us to trust, John 8:32, to destroy death, 2 Timothy 1:10, to destroy sin and Satan, Hebrews 2:14, to restore humanity back to God's original ideal, 1 John 3:8, and secure the universe unfallen in its innocence. All things in heaven and in earth are reconciled to Christ at the cross, Colossians 1:20. Level 7 understands atonement in its true sense, at one meant with God. Reconciliation, having the law of love restored in the heart and mind, operating with the mind of Christ, partaking of the divine nature, restoring creation back to God's original intent. It's doing right because it is right, and right doing is pleasing to God. Neither God nor his law, as defined by the eternal principles upon which he's created reality to operate, change. But our understanding of his law changes, and the human species is changed to live in harmony with that law. Notice the action, the transformation point, the change, the effect is in changing humans, not changing God and God's law. We understand at this level God speaks to people at each level of their understanding. So you can look through Scripture, and you can find God expressing himself at level 1 and level 2 and level 3 and level 4. But it's a mistake to stay stuck at those earlier levels of understanding, refusing to mature, regardless of how valid those levels of understanding were at some point in your early development. And this also explains much of the conflict in Christianity. You see, level 4 people are very anxious that the rules be kept. Level 4 people will often gravitate to church leadership and administrative positions because they have great concern for the rules, proper definitions, proper doctrinal descriptions, and protecting the institution and enforcement of those rules. Level 6 and 7 persons who want to discuss general principles are often called liberals. Level 5 people who seek to love others and show compassion to the sinner, the drug addict, the homosexual, are seen as having loose standards by level 4 and below. Level 6 and 7 persons may become very bored with the legalistic sermons aimed at level 4 or the level 1 sermons of the fiery hell and damnation threats. Level 4 members feel threatened by questions which undermine their legal security or God as dictator, but they don't use the word dictator, they use the word sovereign. Some are attracted to the level 2, the health wellness gospel. If you do the right rituals, say the right prayer for the right number of days, then you get the right blessings. But others find that these explanations fall far short, especially when they see bad things happening to good people. Growing through the stages. Growth through these stages are generally stepwise, meaning you can't skip steps. Wherever you're at, you have to progress through each of the steps as you advance. Distress or conflict or tribulation in your life that doesn't fit your current explanation, your current level of understanding reality, doesn't explain the difficulty you're in, is what motivates people to seek a better explanation and helps them grow. And this is why the Bible says, rejoice in your trials and tribulations, because they build character. They help us seek a better understanding. What matters is function, not explanation. I know some individuals, if you give them a Bible test, they will give a penal, legal solution answer every time. But they love people. They self-sacrifice for others. They help others. They're giving. They're beneficent. They're kind. They function at level 5, but they've never been taught the Bible quiz answers to give those answers in any other way. It's function, not how you answer a Bible quiz, that matters. You also can retain vestiges of a previous level. So a person at level 4 law and order may have a real desire for vengeance, but will seek it through the legal system, believing that God will take vengeance through a proper judicial proceeding. Can only understand generally one level above the level that you're currently operating. Most people operate in a society at level 4 and below, and they end up persecuting people operating at levels 5 through 7. And this is, of course, look at the life of Jesus and the apostles. They operated at levels 5 through 7, and how were they treated by those in authority? They were persecuted. The Bible describes the church as the bride and Christ as the groom. Christ is returning for his bride, but he is not coming back for a child bride, a bride who lives in fear of the groom. He wants a mature bride, one who has grown up and is ready to meet him face to face, for we shall be like him. I challenge you, leave the elementary teachings behind and move on to maturity. Thank you.